Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black. And in the showcase today is the Augustine Literacy Project and its executive director, Debbie McCarthy, who's going to tell us what they do in our community. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. And your organization is just doing some amazing things in this community, addressing a need that many of us are aware of, but probably don't realize how it's being addressed. So start us out. How did the organization get started?
The Augustine Literacy Project started 22 years ago at Holy Family Episcopal Church in Chapel Hill, where we are still based. And it began with the vision of providing the highest quality intervention for low-income children and teens who struggle with literacy skills, to provide that service free of charge to those children whose families could not afford that kind of intervention. It was started by Linda McDonough. She was the Christian Ed Director at the church at the time, and it has grown exponentially in these 22 years, from training about 6 or 8 tutors a year to now training 95. And the project has been successful, I think, for 3 important reasons. First of all, the relationship that we establish between the child and the tutor. It's a long-term relationship.
And what age are you focused on?
We can serve children in any grade from K through 12.
Okay.
It's school-aged children. And so this relationship forms over the 60 tutoring lessons that we ask a tutor to commit to.
60.
And that's a research-based number. The children who are struggling to read, typically the reasons are things like perhaps dyslexia or poverty itself, which means obviously often a lack of exposure to print or rich vocabulary. There could be ESL issues. So those children need time, and they need a structured, systematic, phonics-based approach, which we use. It's called the Orton-Gillingham approach.
Mm-hmm.
And those relationships build over the 60 lessons. The 60 lessons give plenty of time for the success to
take
root.
And the student and the tutor then get very comfortable with each other and
absolutely
help learning to occur.
They bond. They begin to trust and respect one another. They essentially fall in love with each other over time. I think that's what happens in many cases. I know it did with my own Augustine student, whom I have now been close to for 16 years. So that relationship is fundamental. The other 2 pieces that make us successful are the methodology, Orton-Gillingham, which I mentioned. It's research-based, it's tried and true, it's proven to work. And then there's the training and support. That's the third aspect. Our logo is a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember these 3 things with the triangle: the relationship, the methodology, and then our training and support, which really is the gold standard of tutor training for any organization of which I'm aware. We ask a tremendous amount of our volunteers. We ask 2 weeks of their life to come and be trained.
Training is a 2-week.
Two-week process.
No prior skills required.
Many of our tutors are retired teachers, but that's not necessary. We've trained former business executives, nurses, homemakers, students. We train seniors at Durham Academy.
There are some high school students involved, too.
Absolutely. A good number every year. We offer a service learning elective at DA and also at Trinity School. So
mm-hmm.
these seniors can elect a course that meets every day, just like all of their other academic courses. They spend about a month learning why these children struggle with reading and then how to remediate that, how to plan these lessons that we have designed. And then they start working with children in the second grade in various local public schools. And it's an amazing result.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. It's conducted in the schools. You get a classroom or a workroom.
The tutoring itself typically does take place in the school, yes. And the tutor is paired one-on-one with the child, and they work wherever the school can provide a space.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe in a hallway or in the library or in the cafeteria, but it's a one-on-one setting where that child and that tutor are very intensely focused on the work at hand.
And you give the tutor the materials.
Yes, we do. A huge stack of materials, including the Wilson Reading System starter set, which provides a lot of guidance in lesson planning, and many other resources that we've designed in our 22 years. They're all Orton Gillingham based. Mm-hmm. And again, as I said, it's structured, it's logical, it's systematic, multisensory. So we have children using their fingers, tapping the sounds in words, smearing those sounds together, swooping under the words. So we get their body involved in the learning. They're not just seeing and hearing a letter or a sound. They're also touching it, perhaps tracing it. And all of those pathways to the brain are being activated, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, tactile.
Holistic approach.
Absolutely.
Now, does the tutor do an initial assessment to see where to start?
Yes. Excellent question. And we do that. We have our own assessment package, again, that we've developed.
That's
over
the
many
initial
years.
Thing that you, the tutor is introduced to the student. Is there a special matchup process that you use on which tutor should get what student?
That's another good question. We let the tutors make the decision about their placement. We do ask them for 60 lessons after the 2-week training, and that placement can occur wherever they choose.
A school near their home, for example.
Absolutely. Why drive 30 minutes to do your tutoring twice a week? The lessons last 45 minutes and they normally take place twice each week. So why drive 30 minutes if you have a school 5 minutes from your house?
Mm-hmm.
So we currently have tutors placed in more than 125 schools and after-school programs around the Triangle.
So it's not just Orange County. It's Durham and Wake?
Exactly. And Chatham
and
Chapel Hill. So
okay.
Five school districts are currently involved in the Triangle chapter.
And so I'm sure that some of the language issues play a part in what you're trying to do.
We do serve a lot of children for whom English is not their first language. Often it's Spanish that they hear spoken at home. Sometimes in Chapel Hill, it's Karen, mm-hmm. because of a large community there. And what we have found is that the Augustine approach and our lesson plan works beautifully as an ESL teaching method because we're teaching children the sounds the letters make in the English language and how to understand the structure of the English language.
And it plays right into what other instruction they're getting at school. So this is additional and
exactly.
adds to what's happening in the classroom, because I know in a lot of those classrooms, the teachers are very busy.
Oh, they're incredibly busy, and they have 25 or 30 students care. They cannot. I think teachers are the saints of this world.
Well, we're going to have to take a break, speaking of saints, and we'll be right back after this break with the Augustine Literacy Project on Nonprofit Showcase. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and this is WCHL 97.9. And we were talking with Debbie McCarthy, who is the executive director of the Augustine Literacy Project, and she was talking when we took the break about classroom situation and teachers not being able to spend as much time as they may like to spend with a student that needs help. And that's why your program is able to give them, the students, a boost in learning to read and literacy skills. And I guess literacy skills, we should clarify, also include spelling.
Absolutely.
I missed that course.
Many people struggle with that, but we do teach reading, writing, and spelling. Those are the three fundamentals of an Orton Gillingham-based approach. And we are offering that, again, to low-income children for whom that kind of intervention is cost prohibitive.
And it wouldn't happen otherwise.
And the teacher just simply doesn't have time to provide that one-on-one intensive
And the teachers give you recommendations on which students might be included or should be
They
looked
do.
At?
They do. We get referrals from the teachers.
That was the word, referrals.
From teachers, from principals, from counselors, social workers, parents most often call asking for help.
And I'm sure there's a lot of word of mouth that someone learns about the program because someone tells them that their child participates or participated.
Yes. Many, many people call us because they have heard about the result from someone else who has had a tutor. And the same is true with respect to people calling asking to be trained because they hear about what a powerful experience it is to work with a child and to see the light come on and to help that child come to terms with the mysteries of the English language. So they call us and ask to be placed on our waiting list for trainings.
So a little more than half a year you're asking a tutor. And I suspect most of them do more than just one 60-lesson cycle.
They do.
Once they've been trained.
They do. And actually, that 60 lessons, if they're offered twice a week, which is the norm, takes about a full school year. Mm-hmm. So if a tutor's trained in July or in October, those are the two times each year when we offer training, 2 weeks in July in Chapel Hill, 2 weeks in Durham in October. And tutors who complete those trainings then start tutoring in that school year and we hope will complete their 60 lessons. But many, as I said earlier, bond with that child. They see the progress being made. They don't want to stop at the end of 60
lessons. And so there's evaluation along the way that they can measure progress.
Yes. We do some pre and post testing. We have to do that, of course, for any funding that we seek because you're going to have to show measurable outcomes. It's also very rewarding for the tutor and the child to see, look, we started here, and look where we are now.
And you've got a graph or something that shows that progress.
We can keep that progress.
If we were to bring in three or four volunteer tutors, what would they tell us about why they volunteered and why they continue with the program?
Oh, great question. We should have brought them in to ask them.
I wish.
Oh, boy. I think many people come into the training because they loved reading and they want to share that gift. They recognize perhaps that there is a problem and that children are struggling with reading, that not every child learns to read in the classroom. Perhaps they had someone in their family with dyslexia and they saw the struggles that were involved there and it touched their own lives. Perhaps they were a teacher and they saw it in the classroom and they always had this contingent of children who just didn't keep up with the normal curriculum and needed that extra boost. So there are many reasons, but typically it's a person with a heart of gold. We just have the very finest people who gravitate toward Augustine Literacy Project, and I consider it such a gift and blessing to work with people.
Well, like you know, this permeates our community with so many people willing to do things that helps others as well as helps the community. I did an interview not too long ago with Ginger Young of Book Harvest.
Yes.
And she was talking about the fact that in so many homes, there are no books. And
exactly.
That's what motivated her to get books in the hands of children, even if they couldn't read them yet.
Right.
At least get the books into the home. And then you're giving the ability to read those books.
Decode those books. Absolutely. It's so wonderful the way various nonprofits can interface with each other.
So I suspect there's some interaction there.
There is. We have certainly availed ourselves of Book Harvest books for Augustine children and encourage families to go and select books because they prefer that the child choose books to their own liking. But it is so important that they have that opportunity. Another factor in the home that causes sometimes difficulty for children is lack of exposure to enriched vocabulary. There have been studies done on that.
Turn the TV off.
and talk to your children and use, you know, encouraging positive language. Every time that happens in a young child, a toddler, there are synapses in the brain firing in response to that language. So these children who get a lot of enriched language exposure come into school at the age of 4 or 5 far ahead of those children who have not gotten that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
And we've also
message.
Had organizations visit with us here on the showcase who are in the hunger resolution business trying to get food, healthy food to children in our community. And they have all the statistics about learning being affected by being hungry.
Absolutely.
And we forget that we have a good number of hungry young people in our community.
And all of those factors are going to obviously affect a child's academic outcomes. The one thing that we do, we have, I call it a laser-like focus on our goal, which is to work on the reading issues, the reading, writing, and spelling. That's what we do. We do it extremely well and capably and have done it for 22 years. So we have this track record. We understand all of the myriad other issues that may be involved. And tutors individually often get involved in their child's life in many ways. But reading, writing, and spelling, that's the one thing that we feel we know how to fix.
Yeah. Well, it sounds very impressive. And one of the sobering statistics I saw on your website that 15 to 20% of school-age children have reading problems. Among low-income families, the number is likely to be higher. But the important point was children do not outgrow poor reading without intervention. So 74% of poor readers in third grade are still poor readers in ninth grade.
That's true.
What does that tell us?
They do not outgrow this problem. They need help, and they often need one-on-one intervention of the type that we offer.
So you're not going to run out of work to do.
No, indeed. And the sad news is if they don't get the help, many of these children drop out of school and end up in prison.
And we see them reflected in other statistics.
Yes.
And that poor reading becomes a sore spot with them because they know other kids can read. Well, believe it or not, Debbie, we're going to have to take another break. And when we come back, I want to be able to talk about how others can help if they want to volunteer, and maybe a little information about what's next for you. So this is Nonprofit Showcase with Fred Black. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and 97.9 WCHL. And we're with Debbie McCarthy of the Augustine Literacy Project. And we were talking about trying to help these children who need help with literacy, reading, writing, and spelling, and the wonderful job of the tutors and why they tutor. And you said you train for 2 weeks.
We do.
And you said you had a training session coming up in October.
Yes, we do.
So if somebody wanted to be trained and go on your list of tutor possibilities, what can they do?
They can contact me at AugustineProject@msn.com. If they forget that address, just Google Augustine Literacy Project, find our website, which is AugustineProject.org, and you'll find contact information and registration forms there. The next training is October 10th through 21st at Watt Street Church and George Watts Montessori Magnet School for the Practicum in Durham.
Mm-hmm.
So we would love to hear from prospective trainees, and if that class is full, which it might be, we will be happy to sign you up for a training in July of 2017.
How many tutors could you handle at a time, you think?
We train about 33 in the summer at Holy Family Church. We have enough space to accommodate that number. In October, we typically train about 15. We have a smaller space.
And during the process where the tutors are working with a young person and they don't see the progress that they would like to see, is there a mechanism where they get together and maybe get some expertise and help from the program?
Great
question. What do I do now?
We offer ongoing support. That's the other part of that initial triangle I was talking about, the training and the support. We stick with our tutors as long as they stick with their child. We have monthly lunch bunch meetings. We have workshops to help them proceed through the curriculum, through our scope and sequence. And we have a beautiful library where they can come and borrow resources, games, and activities to liven up the lesson, make it more fun and engaging for their child. So we have a fabulous tutor support staff member whose role is to interact.
To do just what we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Do any of your tutors still have children at home?
Yes, some
do. So they're able to use some of these techniques to help their own children, I bet.
They certainly may, or their grandchildren.
Yeah.
That's certainly true.
Yeah, well, it's amazing the impact that a tutor, a dedicated tutor. I know we have a lot of programs and we use UNC students. They do so many wonderful things in this community. And a lot of them are tutoring from the heart, I like to call it. And there's not a whole lot of training that many programs are able to give. But you have a very specific training agenda.
That's true.
And follow up.
That's
true. Now, what are some of your success stories that you feel really proud about?
Well, one is perhaps my own experience with my Augustine student, whom I met when he was 9, a non-reader at the time with some severe dysfunction at home. His dad was in prison and his mother was struggling with addiction. So at the age of 9, he was really responsible for 5 younger siblings. There were all kinds of issues in his life that I couldn't fix, but I decided we were going to stick together. And the one thing I was determined to do was to teach him to read. Long story short, he stayed in school. He graduated. He joined a Job Corps program and then AmeriCorps and got to travel this country with other young people volunteering. He now lives independently in Boulder, Colorado, and he's like part of my family.
Well, that's amazing. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for visiting with us today, and good luck on the rest of your program. And this is Fred Black, Nonprofit Showcase.